Hello. Thanks for joining us for this Sunday morning's teaching at Dayspring Fellowship. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
Last week, I don't know who all was here last. I mean, I know, but I don't. Some of you weren't here, so I'll explain what Lathan was preaching last week about resting in the Lord and how sometimes we have, I don't know about y'all, but those of you that were here, the analogy stuck with me all week. We have all these plates spinning above our head, and how are we going to manage everything? And really, it's our responsibility not to keep them all spinning, but to say, Lord, what do you want me to be doing in this moment? And allowing ourselves to just rest in who he is and who he's made us to be, and then allow him to show us which plates need to keep spinning. Some need to drop to the ground and break, and some we'll let him spin while we just keep doing what he's asked us to do. So that message was really, really, it was so, so good for me. I hope you guys got as much out of it as I did. But we had the prayer time at the end, and I immediately knew. He asked us to share with somebody something that's kind of been a burden for us that we've been struggling with, that didn't feel like we were able to rest in the Lord about it. And so I immediately knew what mine was. So here's the deal. I absolutely love my job. Love, 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 love my job. I'm a teacher. I'm a school administrator. Love, absolutely love my job. I don't love everything that I have to do at my job. But there are certain things. Like, I love being around the kids. I love being with the teachers. I love a lot of things that I get to do in the classroom. But there are certain things that I just don't really, like, that don't really bring me a whole lot of life. But they have to get done. Anybody, like, do you get, like, does everybody else have a job that you just love everything about it, I guess? So for me, there's like this one big giant project at school that I'd been trying to work on for weeks on end, and I absolutely was failing. Every single time I would try to do it, I failed. Literally, no joke, failed. I spent 4 to 5 hours working on it 1 week. Every single thing that I did didn't save. So, like, horrible. Like, and that wasn't the only, like, there were lots of components to this whole thing that kept messing up like that. So I knew as soon as Lathan was like, what's the thing that you're burdened about? I'm like, I know mine. So I couldn't get to my little group fast enough to pray. And let me say this, though. For weeks leading up to this, all this time that I was working on it, y'all need to know that I had gone several times to God and been like, please help me. Like, I don't want to do this, first of all. Second of all, I stink at it, clearly. Third of all, I just can't do it. So there were lots of times that I would just cry out to God for help because I felt completely overwhelmed by the whole thing. But last week, sat in the group, shared with them, they prayed for me and spoke words of life over me about this situation. It wasn't like super magic or anything. It was just, they just prayed with me. They didn't get into detail. It wasn't this giant thing. They just prayed with me and believed with me and really spoke words of life to me about it specifically that allowed me to see it from a different perspective. That afternoon, we had to go run some errands. We got home. I started working on the thing. What I had been doing for 2 to 3 weeks, I got done in like an hour or two. Like, more anointed, it was easy. I actually kind of enjoyed it a little bit. And it just kind of all snapped together. Every single component of it came together in ways, like things that I had even forgotten to worry about in the weeks leading up to it. That afternoon, it all just came together. So I am so, so, so grateful to the Lord that he was able to come through for me because it was totally all him. But it left me questioning a lot. Why didn't he give me that gift all those other times that I asked him to help me? Because legit, I was asking him. It wasn't just, I'm not just saying that. I really was, like, earnestly, God, I really need your help. So I've really been pondering that a lot, not like out of frustration, just like, Lord, I think you're trying to show me something here, but I don't really, like, I just want you to listen to me when I say what I want you to help me with. I don't want it to, you know, why did you wait so long, and then why did it have to come this way? And I know we're not going to always know why, but come on, you asked too. I'm not the only one. So this was a moment where I was like, I really feel like the Lord is trying to show me something. So I've been really pressing in about that in the last week or week, and a phrase keeps coming to my mind, and this is what the Lord's been having me pray this week, especially, that I can be an active participant in what he's doing on earth. So I could have just kept trying to do what I was doing, and then I could have prayed and God could have helped me. And I might have even told somebody I prayed and God helped me with this project. But the reality is God's getting way more glory because I actually humbled myself and talked to these people about it. Now I'm able to go to them and say, wow, remember what you said? That's totally how God worked it out. God totally used you in my life in that way. That, to me, allows me to be an active participant. Not just I got to be an active participant, but the people that were in my group last Sunday got to be an active participant in what God was doing in my life. So it has left me questioning things. what I feel like the Lord is saying to me in this moment, and I think other people in this room, hopefully others of you, it's not just for me, that there is a season where it's really going to be, where there's going to be life in our coming together to stand together in things, to be able to be together in a way that has meaning, that's not just, let's just come into church on Sunday and say hi to each other, it's nice to see you, how you doing, great, bye, but truly, like, be doing life together in a way that we can truly be active in what God is doing in other people's life. And that they can also be active in what God is doing in ours. That's a sweet thing. It's a little scary, but it's a really, really sweet thing. Because I've been reading a lot in the Bible about how God used people to do things in each other's lives. There are definitely times where, like, Jesus goes away by himself. We get that. Like, that's an awesome mother of five here that's around people all day long. The idea of going to the bathroom by myself is really exciting to me. So there are times where going away and being alone is beautiful and wonderful and really sweet. But there are a lot of examples how God brought people together to accomplish something. And the glory that he was able to get out of that stretched even further. It was able to multiply in a way that it wouldn't have before. I was thinking about Jesus. Lathan referenced the movie Risen that we saw a couple months ago. It was about when Jesus obviously rose from the dead, but it was really about the people that he was doing life with at that time. And there was a scene in the movie where they were all in this neighborhood, and I know this happened in real life, but I get that it's not like this is a real life situation that I saw in a movie, but it helped me to visualize it in the movie. So they're in this house. All these neighbors are all in the houses around them, just living life, just doing their thing. But Jesus was, after he rose from the dead, in the house with people that loved him. And they're all hearing about how he just rose from the dead and all that he was able to conquer and la, la, la. And I got to thinking about all the neighbors. And I realized that would have stunk to have been like two or three houses down and missed out on that opportunity. So the Lord's been convicting me about how I kind of look at Jesus as like having these moments where he did these really great, awesome things and spoke life and did all these great, amazing, powerful things. But how cool would it have been to actually do life with Jesus? To just like sit day in, day out with him and actually do life with him in a way. Gray was talking about he's our prototype. You can learn so much more from him, like actually just hanging out with him than just watching him ministering to 5,000 people and you were part of that audience. So how cool would that have been? And what a shame it would be to be a few doors down and miss out on that. So I feel like the Lord's been, I'm getting to a point here. I know I'm kind of like all over the place, but I feel like it's going to come together. I feel like the Lord has been taking me through all of these different like snapshot moments to just let me know that he wants me to enter into a season of doing life with people that's meaningful, that has an impact on them and an impact on me, and allow him to do that in my life. Realizing that when I tap into that, he gets way more glory than when it's just about me and him. Because when it's just about me and him, then there's no like spreading of it. If he would have solved that thing for me that I was dealing with at school, if he would have just like zap fixed it for me, I wouldn't have shared that story with anybody. I would have just gone on living my life. But as soon as you kind of start multiplying yourself and your life with others, then he can get so much more glory. If he had just come on earth and just done his like mic drop moments where he's like doing these amazing, powerful things, but wasn't in relationship with people, then who would have recorded it all? Like, how would we even know as much as we know? It was a lot of the people that were doing life with him that allowed us today to know so much about his life. There are a ton of examples in Scripture about us coming together and working together. I'm just going to zap through a couple. Iron sharpens iron. Iron. And one man sharpens. I've been in South Carolina too long. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, so is it the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward. And then I started thinking about sweet Adam and Eve. She, like, legit was made for him. Like, all, you know, the teenagers are all like, made for each other, like they do the MFEO thing. Like, she was, like, legit made for him. Like, he was there. God said, it's not good for you to be alone. And he took part of Adam and, like, made her for him. Like, it doesn't get more MFEO than that. But, but he, even that relationship messed up. The girl that was made for Adam, like, did the thing that caused the whole earth to have sin in it. That's not so fun. So, the reality is, life can get messy when you do it with people. There, you think about from the beginning of man being made, it got messy. And then you go through the entire Old Testament and then the entire New Testament. As wonderful as it all can be, because life can be produced from it and it can be so great and the story can be multiplied and more people can know about Jesus and more people can be free and more people can be healed. As great as that is, it can be horrible, horribly messy and painful at times too. You think about the people that got to wander around the desert with a whole bunch of people grumbling and complaining the whole entire time. I'm going to tell you, I have zero tolerance for that. Yesterday I said to Scott, it's Mother's Day weekend. I'm not allowed to hear a whining voice come out of your mouth. I can't handle it. I have no tolerance for that tone. But I can't imagine, like, wandering around listening to people do that all day and all night for years on end. It would drive me completely bananas. And yet God put these group of people together to journey together. So, yes, iron can sharpen iron. Yes, a lot of good things come from it. But a lot of really hurtful, hard, painful stuff can come from it. Think about Jesus, who had to put up with a lot. But one of them was the person that he knew was going to betray him. The person that did betray him, he sat there at that dinner with him, allowed him to be in his life, and he hurt him, and he knew he was going to hurt him. How many situations in our life are like that? That we, I'm thinking about my family, obviously Mother's Day, and how a lot of really great things have come from my family, a lot of really sweet moments where we're together and we love each other, but we've hurt each other really badly too. It's not always pretty. I want it to be, but the reality is it's not. But I need the people that are in my family, and I need the people that God has put in my life in order to be able to have my dreams fulfilled. The reason that he created me, who I am as a person, the gifts he's put inside of me, I need the people that he's put in my life in order to function in those things. And I think you can look in your own family. I think we can look around this room. I think we can look in lots of your workplace, lots of different groups of people that God has put into your life, that even though it's not easy and fun, because it can actually truly hurt, God designed us to be together. He knew when he created Adam, it wasn't good that he was going to be alone. He knew that we needed each other. So, how do you do that? How do you function in that balance between, Gray talked so much about the ditch on either side, where you're just like, I'm done with people. I love people. They're amazing. How do you function in that tension between being who God has called you to be, not being brokenhearted all the time, and allowing God to use you to move in other people's life and to use those people to move in your life? It's tricky. And I don't know all the answers yet, but I know that that's the way God designed it to be. And if he designed it to be that way, then he does all things well, and he's going to make a way for us to be able to do that with each other, if that's truly the season that he's calling us into, if that's the way of life he's calling us into. Does that make sense? The reality is, I'm going to miss out on some of my calling and some of who I am if I don't tap into the people in my life. But there are seasons that I don't know how to do that. I'm not sure how to allow myself to be me and yet still be in a relationship with people that could potentially hurt me. So for me personally, I think it's just a time of trusting the Lord, of allowing his grace to be living and active in my life in a way that will heal the places that are broken inside of me and allow me to be who he's called me to be. The reality is, if he's made me to be who I am and he's put these people in my life, then his grace is sufficient for figuring it out. So either it's is or it's not. A couple of weeks ago, somebody talked to me. We were talking about different things, and he just kind of dropped this sentence, and it wasn't even what we were talking about, but he said, all God is asking for you is your faithfulness. And I just felt like that has been sticking with me a lot the last couple of weeks, because there are times that I just frankly just don't want to be faithful to certain situations. I don't want to, like, I know there's a need in front of me. I know there's a kid at school that's like crying out for attention, and I really could be doing a million other things. And the reality is, I don't necessarily want to stop and like get down and deal with that situation. But if God has put that situation in my path, and I know that he's put me in this role, then all he's asking me to do is just be faithful, to be present in that moment and be an active participant of what he's calling me to do, and be faithful to the people that he's put in my life. So I really, really feel like the Lord wants to help us today to navigate some of that. I really think that we can get conditioned. This is a really good example. I called somebody in my family recently who I've struggled with in the past, but I'm like prayed up and ready when I called them. And we're talking and everything's going so well. And then all of a sudden, boom, they just said this thing that, like, I'm like, really? Like, ah. So I had to make a choice in that moment to say, Lord, do I just hang up? I really just want to hang up. Can I just pretend like I don't want to have it? Like, can I just do away with this relationship completely? And there are times for that. A million times, yes, there are times for that. But there are also times that the Lord is saying, just trust me in this. Don't take it personally. Just allow me to be in the middle of this situation. And so that's what I did. And I didn't want to at all. But I did. And then the Lord blessed it. And then we ended lovely. And I actually didn't even think about that comment for several days later. And something happened. I was like, oh, yeah, that happened. And then I had to ask for forgiveness, forgive her and all that stuff. But the reality is, God is strong enough and graceful enough and merciful enough to meet us in that place. He He's the same God that helped me get through that horrible situation at work and fix it all for me. He's the same God that gave his son to die on the cross for you. He's the same God that has provided for you countless times in your life. He's the same God that shows his love to you in countless ways. He's the same God that can meet us in our relationships to help us to navigate that so that we can be active participants in each other's life. Because if we're active participants in what God is doing on the earth today, we have to do some of it with each other. That's just the reality. So, can we pray about that for a little bit? Are y'all good with that? All right. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, I know that there are a lot of us that can think about people that have truly hurt us, that have legitimately broken our hearts and all of that. I know that those people can come to our mind very, very easily. And so, God, I ask right now that you would give us all the grace to forgive those people that have even used your name to hurt us, those people that have, that were supposed to be relationships that we could get life from and got twisted somewhere along the way, those people that we were supposed to be able to count on. God, I pray that you would give us all the grace right now to be able to truly forgive those people and release them from the hold that they have on our thoughts and our emotions. God, we release anybody that has any kind of tie tethering our heart back to something that's happened in the past. Anything that's causing us to not just be able to run forward to you, God, I pray that right now you would cut that tie in Jesus' name. God, I pray for our relationships. I pray for our families and for our friends and for the other people in this room that, God, you would truly lead us into relationships that bring life to each other and that bring life to your kingdom. I pray, God, that you would use us to encourage each other, to love each other, to show the people around us who you are and who you want to be for them. God, you are faithful. Allow us to walk in that same faithfulness and be faithful to each other. You are full of love. Help us to walk in that ability to be full of love. In Jesus' name, amen.